Let's look at verse number 1 of James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, just to be here tonight. What a blessing to open the scripture together and to read and study. And Lord, we ask that you would please give us the wisdom that is spoken of in this portion of scripture. Help us to be understanding, Lord, a little bit better tonight in what we face, the reason we have to face some things, the why behind the reasons we have to face some things in life, and that, Lord, you would help us to be better equipped for whatever we may face in 2007. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to call this Bible study tonight, I'm going to steal a title out of our student handbook. I'm going to call this Bible study, How to Absolutely Positively Pass Every Test. How to Absolutely Positively Pass Every Test. Now, every year, at the beginning of the year, we meet with our students and we do student orientation, usually for most of the first day of school. We have student orientation. And the young people, of course, love this. One of their favorite days of the entire school year is to hear Pastor Jerry stand up here and go through the student manual with them. The student manual, I'll say this, the student manual, I think that I have this written here as a subtitle to the student manual. It says, Student Manual, Principles, Procedures, and Practical Advice That Will Help You Succeed in School and in Life. Now, let me read that again. Student Manual, Principles, Procedures, and Practical Advice That Will Help You Succeed in School and in Life. I think one of the probably differences between a student that comes in and succeeds in school and has a good time and an enjoyment about succeeding in school and someone that don't is their view of this little manual right here. And I'm saying all this for a reason, so stay with me. You know, when I go through student orientation and I go through the student manual, one of the things I try to convince our students of, some young people just look at this as a rule book. This is a rule book. Pastor is going to go through the rules today. Other young people say, Pastor Jerry is going to give us principles, procedures, and practical advice that will help us to succeed. This is a success manual. This is a success manual. Now, I said all that to say this. I think that there's two ways of looking at another manual that we've been given. There's too many Christians. I'm not talking about just teenagers and young people. Too many Christians that look at this and say, oh, there's a rule book. There's a rule book. And they don't realize that what God has given us is principles, procedures, and practical advice that will help us to succeed in school and in life. Right there. And so much of how you view the Bible, so much of that is going to determine whether or not it helps you or not. But one of the chapters in here in our school manual, one of the pages of the things that we cover is, of course, part of going to school is taking tests. And I wrote years and years, I don't know how many years ago, I wrote this little 8-step procedure for, let's see, page 10. I don't have my glasses, so I'm winging it. On the medication I'm on, I'm not sure it would help anyway, so. But I wrote a little eight principles, little 8 steps, and I've said this. You say, Brother Jerry, can you actually write how to absolutely positively pass every PACE test? Can you? I promise you that any student who does the 8 things that I just wrote down right there and doesn't take one shortcut, will do all 8 of those things, will absolutely positively pass every PACE test. I've never, ever, ever had a student prove me wrong on this. If they fail a test and they say, I did all that you said to do and I failed it, I said, okay, let's review. Number 1, did you make it your goal to learn the material in this PACE or just to finish the material in this PACE? Did you use each checkup as a quiz? Did you properly prepare for the self-test before you took it? Did you take the self-test? I hope so. Did you take notes before you turned in your PACE? Oh, yeah. Well, let me see them. Well, did you study these notes? Well, yeah, during commercials. Did you have a parent or a brother or sister quiz you on the notes? Did you pray before you take the test? Now, I will tell you that students in here that have successfully graduated and are successful at passing PACEs would tell you, if you do what Brother Jerry just said, it works. I guarantee you it works. If you just do these things, you will pass the test. So, now, I think James chapter 1 is kind of God's how to absolutely positively pass the test that you're going to face in life. Now, I said a minute ago that part of going to school is that you're going to have to take some tests. Part of life is that you're going to have to take some tests. I don't like tests. Well, you know what? Like them or not, they're coming. Testing is a part of life. Testing is a part of life. You may be... let me just say this. I think everybody in this room is in one of 3 spots. You are getting ready to go through a test. You are in the middle of a test, time of testing. Or if you have just finished a time of testing. But I promise you, you're in one of those 3 categories right here tonight. Because testing is a necessary part of your development, my development, your growth, my growth, your success, my success. Listen, if we do not pass the test, then, you know, one of the things I personally like about the ACE program is that, unlike the public school system, that no matter if you pass a test or not, we just keep pushing you on, that PACE is not going to go away until you pass the PACE tests. If you fail the test, guess what? The next day you show up and there's the same exact PACE again. So, Brother Jerry, that just seems awful harsh. Listen to me. God's going to test me and test you. And it is our responsibility to learn how to pass the tests and to pass those tests. And if we do not pass those tests, can I promise you something? In not too long in the near future, that same test, that same PACE is going to appear on your desk one more time. Because you see, God wants to teach you some things. God wants to develop me and you in some areas. God wants us to grow and to mature us and to complete us so that we can get to the point where we are able to be entrusted and we are skilled in some areas where we are useful to Him in the ministry and in the reaching of people for Jesus Christ. So, part of life is the testings. The tests is just part of life. Now, I'm going to give you not 8 steps as we have in there. I'm going to give you 6 things to consider that's found in the first 12 verses of James chapter number 1. How to absolutely positively pass the test of life. Number 1, let me give them to you. I'd take some notes. You know, that might be one of the success ways to pass the test. Number 1, understand the purpose of testing. Understand the purpose of testing. Now, let me cover with you verses 2 and 3. My brethren, Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, I want to use those two verses to teach you the first step here. How do I pass the test of life, Brother Jerry? I feel like I'm stuck in this cycle and I keep failing this same test over and over. I need a little help. I'm going to give you a little help, okay? Number one, you need to understand the purpose of testings. Let me just say this first of all. Testings come in multiples. Times of testings usually come in multiples. What do you mean by that? The Bible says in verse 2 that we ought to count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptation or diverse or multiple temptations. You know, you ever heard maybe an old wives' tale where they'll say tragedies come in threes, or deaths come in threes, or this comes in threes. I don't know about that. In my life, I've had them come in fives, eights, twelves, fifteens. I don't know if there's a special number or not, but let me just say this. There is a very practical principle in the fact that, can I say this? You know, I mean, it doesn't, you young people, I understand one test at a time is a challenge, but at some point, if all you can handle is one test at a time, you're not much ready for life. Don't you gentlemen wish that the only problem, you only had to face one problem today? That in your entire day, you only had one problem that you had to face. Don't you ladies dream of the day that you only had one problem that came up in one day's time? And the honest truth is, to be much good in the ministry, to be much good in helping people and discipling people and raising a family and being prepared for life and to be a success in life, you have to learn to handle diverse temptations or diverse testings. I mean, I'll ask Tabitha at the end of the 3 weeks, you know, we try to get them. I'll say, when we're getting close to the end of the 3 weeks, how many tests do you have today? And sometimes she'll say, Dad, I've got 3 tests tomorrow. I've got 4 tests tomorrow. Remember here recently, she said, Dad, I've got 5 tests tomorrow. I said, I'll pray for you. And you can just tell the intensity level's up. I've got to get 5 tests done. Can I tell you what? That's good training for life. That's good training for life. I mean, some of us have been a little bit down the road, just one test, hallelujah! You know, and the honest truth is, God knows that we need to be developed in some areas, and the way He develops us is a lot of times through diverse or diverse temptations or testings. That's why it seems like in a short period of time in your life, sometimes there will be several things that hit you at once, several things that go wrong at once. Now understand this. They're for a reason. They're pre-designed. God hasn't fallen, slipped off the throne. He hasn't fallen asleep at the wheel. He hasn't forgotten you. This is very much orchestrated. It's very much on purpose because He is trying to develop something in you. Now let's continue to read, all right? So understanding the purpose of testings needs, first of all, we need to understand that when it seems to be that we are facing multiple things, that probably ought to throw flags up in our mind that God is taking us through a definite time of testings for a specific reason. Now, what is the purpose of testings? Understanding the purpose of testings, all right? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, watch this, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, why am I going through all of this right now, Brother Jerry? Because God is trying your faith, and in doing so, He's developing in you patience. I'm not adding to or subtracting from the Word of God. I'm telling you exactly why He said, knowing this. The first step to passing a test is understanding why you're going through the test. He says, you know, underline those first two words in verse 3, knowing this. Knowing this. Now, I'm going to tell you in a moment that number two, let me just give you number two, and then I'll jump back up and finish number one. Number two is this. How to absolutely positively pass your test. Number one, understand the purpose of your testing. Number two, greet times of testings with joy. Now, doesn't it say that? My brethren, count it what? All what? That sounds like a command to me. That sounds like good sound advice. Now, we're going to get to that in a second. Let me go and finish number one. Knowing this, how can I greet it with joy? Because knowing this, because you're understanding the purpose behind the testings. You know, maybe when you're a young person or even young in the faith, a lot of things hit you at once and you just, I don't know what's happening, preacher. I don't know what's going on. Preacher, I don't know what's going on. Why am I going through all this? I don't get it. I don't understand. Well, why don't you understand it, God? Just explain to you in two verses here that I'm sure you've read many, many times in your Christian life, why he's telling you why it happens. And so instead of having a reaction or falling apart when two or three or four things in a row go wrong, the Bible says those are the time when your antennas ought to go up and you ought to say, God is taking me right now through a specific time of testing because he is going to try my faith, and through the trying of my faith, he is going to develop patience in my life. Now, folks, we kid a lot about this, but patience in your Christian life is one of the most important things that you must develop in order to become a mature Christian. Now, listen, we got to have people in the ministry. We got to have people, lay people in the church that just doesn't fall apart every time two or three or four or five things go wrong in your life or around the church or in your particular ministry or on your bus route. I mean, somebody's got to have some sense about them. Somebody's got to have some calmness about them. Somebody's got to understand that there's a why behind what's going on. Somebody can't just throw their faith out the window every time God just doesn't love me, and that's just it. He don't care about me. You know, God's doing it for a specific reason. And the reason is, let's look at this. The reason is that he is going to test your faith. And the reason he's testing your faith is because he wants to develop in you patience. Now, why would he want to develop in me patience, Brother Jerry? Because patience, once you develop patience in your life, patience teaches you some things. Patience performs what the Bible calls a perfect work in your life. Well, I hope you're listening and getting this. Are you absorbing this? All right, so let's look at verse number 4 now. But let patience have her perfect work. So patience is personified as a female, almost as a mother who is trying to nurture or train a characteristic inside of you. So why is patience important? Because when I react to diverse temptations, to a lot of things, and my reaction is patience. Now, some of you men need to learn patience. Gentlemen, we're right in there together. I'm not outside the boat looking in. I'm in here with you. You need to exercise some patience. Okay? Just because three or four or five things going wrong at once, son, you're supposed to be a man. Take a deep breath. I mean, you can't go crazy. You can't just fall down, curl up in a fetal position, suck your thumb and cry. I'm sorry. I mean, that's just not an option if you're a man. I mean, you've got to learn to react to problems with patience. You know, one of the things that you'll notice as you're growing up, you know, your children will come to you, oh, this, that, that. And, you know, a lot of you children, you can say, you know, I'll come running to my dad. Dad, this is happening, this happened. You know what? He usually doesn't just go, oh, no. He probably just would take a breath, settle down, stop a minute. It's not the end of the world. You know, let's talk about it. You know why he's like that? He didn't always used to be like that. You know why he's like that? Because he's gone through enough testings in his life that he's learned that you just, you know, mamas, you know. Remember when you had your very first child and one little thing went wrong with them? And man, you were screaming and crying and on the phone and throwing them in the car and rushing to the hospital. You know, by about the fourth kid, you know, he comes in and he's got three broken fingers and a big slash across his face. And you're like, go lay down. You'll be fine, you know. And you got some patience. You know, you just don't react the same after you've been through enough trials and tears. Here's an aspirin. You'll be fine. You know, we'll tape it up later. I need to finish my folding the laundry here. We'll get you to the hospital in a little while here. But there's a sense of that where, you know, you just don't react the same way as you did when you had some immaturity about you. Now, what is patience's perfect work? Let's look at verse number 4. But let patience have her perfect work. So patience is the attribute that's going to come into your life and develop and perform a perfect work in your life. Now, this is what it's going to do. That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, those are very important words. See, God brings in a trial so that you can develop patience. And patience meets the trial, then turns to you and says, I'm going to help you through these trials, and I'm going to explain to you and help develop some things in you as you deal with these trials. And the things I'm going to develop in you are these things. I'm going to develop in you maturity, and I'm going to develop in you a completeness. Now, listen to me and look right up this way. That word perfect there means mature. That word entire there means complete. The purpose behind the testings, I know I'm taking a long time on this first one, and the rest of them will go fast. But if you don't understand the purpose of testings, you're never going to get to second base till we get first base figured out here. How do you absolutely positively pass every test? You understand the purpose of testings. All of a sudden you walk in and in one day or in 1 hour, 5, 6 things go wrong. Listen to me. Let patience rule in your life. And then let patience have its perfect work. And that perfect work is it's going to say to you, now listen, keep your head on. God's still on the throne. God's still in charge. There's nothing happening that surprised him. God didn't just look down and go, Oh no, I fell asleep. I didn't mean for those things to happen. How did that? No, God is right there. Okay, he's not asleep at the wheel. He knows what's going on in your life. He's allowed these things to come into your life. He wants you to exercise patience because patience is a great teacher that will teach you to be mature and will teach you to be complete. So the whole purpose, the understanding of the purpose behind testings is this. God's trying to grow me up. God's trying to help me to grow in grace. God's trying to prepare me to handle a situations down the road or a position down the road or a problem down the road that maybe I can't even foresee. And so, folks, what I'm saying is this. I have no idea what's going to hit us in 2007. I look forward to a lot of great days. I think some wonderful things are going to happen. But I can guarantee you this too. There's going to be some times of testing. In my life and in your life, there's going to be times and periods of testings. And listen, what we've got to do is decide that patience is going to rule during those times. Patience is going to control our mind and keep our heart and keep our senses about us. We're just not going to go cattywopped every time a handful of things come about. We're going to let patience rule, and then patience is going to teach us to be mature, and patience is going to help us to become complete and entire, wanting nothing, because, folks, all of us lack some things in our life that we can only learn during the trials, during times of trials. Well, I hope you got that. I want you to peek over real quick. Now, save your place here, but peek over real quick to Hebrews chapter number 2. And let me read a couple verses to you that I think are just phenomenal verses. These verses in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, speak of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to get the gist of this. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9 says this, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Well, that's important. Now, folks, this is talking about Jesus. Jesus was made perfect through sufferings. I thought Jesus was perfect. That's because you misunderstand what the word means. You think perfect, sinless. Jesus didn't have to be made sinless through suffering. He's already been sinless. But he needed to be made complete through sufferings. Now, let me hold that thought. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Do you know there's some things you can only learn through sufferings? Now look at chapter 4 and verse number 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed unto the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. You know what's so wonderful about when you're having a trial or a problem in your life, being able to go to the throne of grace? You have a high priest that sits up there and says, I know what it's like to walk on earth. I know what it's like to be veiled in flesh. I know what it's like to be thirsty. I know what it's like to be hungry. I know what it's like to be tired. I know what it's like to be tempted. I know what you're feeling. He was touched with the feelings of our infirmities, yet he was without sin. That's what separates him and us. But he knows the feelings of our infirmities. Now stick with me here. Brother Jerry, why is it that I have to suffer? Because somebody is going to need you down the road. And you are not complete, you are not whole, you are not entire, and you are not going to be able to understand their problems or meet their needs until, because you haven't ever been there. You realize, listen to me, I'm just telling you, Brother Jerry, I just wish my life was problem-free. Could I say this? You'd be well nigh worthless to anybody else in the human race. Because you wouldn't be able to relate to anybody. Does that make sense? You know, one of the things I had to understand in the ministry is that I think a preacher in a unique way has to go through a lot of varied things. You know why? Because a lot of people are going to walk through his office door. And it doesn't mean that I have to go through everything that you go through, but I think I do have to, God does and has allowed me to go through enough things so that I have I understand the feelings of your infirmities. Now listen, it's just not preachers. You know what? The Sunday school teacher in here that may be the best Sunday school teacher may be the one that's gone through the most. It may be the one that can look at one of those bus kids and figure out what's going on in their head. You know, sometimes we got this thing all cattywampus. We've got this, you know, perfection list of people and what they're supposed to be in order to stand for a classroom. Maybe the ones that's been where they are ought to stand for the classroom. Maybe the ones that's been bounced around a little bit ought to be in there. Maybe the ones that don't have a perfect record ought to be in there. And by the way, none of us have perfect records. Some of us just think we do more than others. Are you listening to me? I mean, you know what? Somebody that's perfect walks in and tries to teach me, I'm pretty much doomed. You know why? Because I can't relate to them. You know, can I tell you why, and I'm not going to assume everybody, but why most of you like to hear Brother Jerry preach is because I'm human. And I'll let you, I'm just transparent enough to let you know I'm human. You know, when I make a mistake, nobody here usually has to tell it. Because I'll come up here and tell it myself. I'm a blabbermouth. I don't have enough sense to try to hide what I've done. I'll just say, you won't believe what I've done this week, and I'll get up and tell you something. But you know why you like that? Because you think there's somebody that is as imperfect, maybe more imperfect than I am. And there's a way to relate. Can I just say this to you parents real quick? You want to help your children? Sometimes the best way to help them is sit down and say, let me tell you something. One time I was your age. I know you don't think I was, but let me tell you something. And be a little transparent with them. Maybe if they know that you weren't always perfect, they'd realize it's not the end of the world when they're not always perfect. Now, listen, you got to go on from there and say, now this is how I overcame it, or this is how God helped me, and you got to lead them through it. Sometimes, you know, we act like we've never sinned, we've never had a problem, we don't know. Well, they can't relate to you. My kids can relate to me because they've got a flawed dad. Are you listening? So understand the purpose of your testing. Now, that brings us to number two, which we pretty much covered. But let me just say this. We've got to understand the purpose of our testings. They're going to come in multiples. They're going to come to develop patience in us. That patience, then, is going to teach us, do a perfect work in us, and teach us in this matter of maturity and completeness, put some things in us that we need to have, because somewhere down the road, there's going to be somebody that comes to us, and we're going to be able to help them then. Number two, Great times of testing, I'm sorry, greet times of testing with joy. Now, this is something I'm going to tell you. If you haven't learned it yet, it's okay. But one of the ways you'll be able to learn it is by really absorbing what I just said a minute ago. Because verse number 3 says this, knowing this. Verse number 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. How do I do this? Knowing this. How can I greet it with joy? Because I understand what's going to happen. I mentioned this a while back, but I said that there was a preacher that preached near here. And I mentioned to my wife, and this has been several years ago, I mentioned to my wife, I'd like to go hear that guy preach. And she said, why? And I said, because in the last year, he's been through some incredible things. And there's something about, even in my own life, when there are huge and multiple testings going on. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a fatalist. I'm not a sadist. I don't sit around wishing for bad things to happen. But when these things happen, good night, folks. I've been saved for 40 years. It shouldn't really throw me for much of a loop. And there should be a sense, watch this, of joyful excitement because I see the hand of God behind it and I'm going to learn some things that I've never learned before. And if I react properly to it, I'm going to grow in some areas that I've never grown in before. I'm going to be completed in some areas that I'm not complete in yet. I'm going to be mature in some areas that I'm not going to, and I'm going to be better equipped to carry out the ministry that God's called me to do. So listen to me, even though I don't particularly maybe like the day-to-day dealings with all of it, let me say this, there is a joyful excitement because I know that God's still working on me. He's still developing me. He's still got something that He wants me to do. If He was done with me, then He wouldn't be working on me, you see. So greet that times of testing with joy. Number 3, let me give you this. Pray intensely for wisdom in times of testing. Pray intensely for wisdom in times of testing. Now, if you're going through times of testing, let me just say this. Anytime you're going through a diverse temptation, wherever wisdom is on your prayer list, boom, put it right to the top of the list. Put it right to the top of the list. Wherever wisdom is, wherever you're praying before, get it right to the top of the list. Because notice what the next verse says in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. Now that verse wasn't just slapped in there for no purpose or no sense at that particular spot in the scriptures. It fits right in with what we're talking about. Now, one of the things that God is going to develop in you during times of testing, if you'll let Him, is wisdom. He is going to teach you some wisdom. And so immediately when you're going through diverse temptation, you ought to move wisdom up to the top of your prayer list. You ought to make that something that you pray for often during the day, multiple times during the day. God, listen, I'm going through this. You know what I'm going through. God, give me the wisdom to handle this situation. God, give me the wisdom to handle these varied obstacles that come my way. Now, I'm just telling you, folks, come sit in my office sometime with me. There's days that I literally sit back and laugh. I try not to laugh when people are in there. I wait till they leave, and then I sit back and laugh. I mean, there's days where I can have 5 knocks on the door within a 20-30 minute frame and 5 huge problems that I was joyfully unaware of when I woke up that morning. Blissfully, joyfully unaware of and unconcerned about. And 5 knocks within a 15, 20, some of you guys know, some of you work in these type of situations. And you know what? At some point, you might as well laugh. You're going to crack up if you don't. And so you say, all right, Lord, all right, right now. Now listen, are you gals getting this? You guys getting this? Right then, I've got to make a choice. I can just fall to pieces. I can fall apart. I can get mad at God. I can, you know, or I can say, you know what? Right now, I need the wisdom of God in my life. Before you go charging off trying to solve these 5 problems, what you ought to do is probably slip over and turn the lock in the door and slip down on your knees and say, God, I am the person that you're speaking about in verse number 5. I lack wisdom. Probably the worst way and the easiest way to fail a test is to charge off thinking that you have the wisdom to solve these things on your own. You see, I think one of the key reasons that God brings testings in our life is to teach us a dependency upon Almighty God. And folks, listen to me. I've done it both ways, and I'm telling you the easiest way to do it. You can decide that you're going to on your own fix something, and you can spend the next week doing it, or you can slip down on your knees and ask and beg God for wisdom and watch Him miraculously clear your mind and give you the answers to the solutions or the way to handle the situations that will diffuse the situations that you wouldn't have thought of if you put your little brain powers together and 15 others like you for weeks at a time. All of a sudden, God just says, opens your mind and says, hey, dummy, listen, try this. Wow. Thank you, Lord. And you know, God promises in this verse, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and it breaketh not, and it shall be given him. Now, that sounds like a promise. And so what I do is I pray and claim that verse. God, this is going on, that's going on, this going on, that's going on, this going on. Now, Lord, I'm going to individually pray about these situations. And God, please, I'm clearing my mind. Bring scriptures to mind. Bring Bible principles to mind. Give me the wisdom that I need to deal with these situations. These people need help. These are real life, real... Listen, this is where the rubber meets the road, folks. This may just be one little interruption in my day, but to that person, it's huge. It could be the biggest thing they face for years. Are you listening? Mom and Dad, it may not seem like a big thing in that girl's life or that boy's life, but it may be huge. It may not seem big to you, but it may be huge to them. If they've come to you and they've come to you with a problem and they've come to you looking for an answer, you've got to have the wisdom that you need. Can I just interject something here? I think so many times we give advice way too quick. I really mean that. So many times somebody comes to us, it is never a sign of weakness to look at somebody and say, this is a huge problem. And you know what? I want time to pray about it. I want to seek the wisdom of God. I want you to pray for wisdom. I'm going to pray for wisdom. Let's take a time of season to pray. Listen, that's not a cop-out. That ought to be done more than it is. It's not like somebody comes to us and they've got a problem, they lay it out. And you know, it's almost like we feel like we've just got to have this automatic answer. And if we don't, they may not think that we're real bright. Well, I've got the point in my life where people that are always given automatic answers probably are the ones that aren't real bright. We need to find God. Find God. So pray intensely for wisdom during times of testing. Now, one of the purposes, again, notice how this, here comes this times of testing. Oh no, why is God doing? Wait a minute, we're just finding out. We're finding exactly why God's doing this. He wants to develop patience in me. Why? Because patience performs a perfect work. It will complete me, and it'll mature me and grow me up in some areas, and it'll give me some things that I need in my life down the road to help somebody else. And then on top of that, once I understand that, it causes me not to be the one that's falling apart or blaming God or getting bitter every time something goes wrong. Matter of fact, when I see times, listen, you know what this means to mature Christians? You know how you can separate mature Christians from immature Christians in a church? Let a church go through a time of diverse temptations. Let a church get multiple testings going on at one time. And you'll have half the congregation coming up and saying, I don't know what's going on and God's not fair. And I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to find a new preacher. And you'll have the other half congregation coming up going, Pastor, isn't this exciting? Man, something good's about to happen. The devil don't like what's going on. Let's go. It doesn't mean we enjoy the problems, but after a while, we just don't have immature reaction to problems anymore. You see, are you listening to me? I'm talking to high school students that three or four things go wrong in your school day, and you can't wait to jump in the car and boo-hoo to mommy because, you know what, this didn't happen right. That didn't happen. Why don't you grow up and have a mature reaction? Guess what? Problems are a part of life. It's just the way it is. Testings are a part of life, and they're trying to bring you to a sense of maturity. Maybe God's allowing some things to hit you because you need to mature in some areas, because you need to be complete in some areas. Why don't you greet these things with joy? You see, Pray intensely for wisdom in times of testing. And I don't think we probably have a complete understanding of the importance of wisdom in our life. I wish I had time to go back there, but you ought to intently read the third chapter of Proverbs. Wisdom is the principal thing. The Bible tells us to get it with all of our getting. And every time I gain wisdom through having to go through a time of testing, I am better for it. So pray intensely for wisdom. Number four, be steadfast during times of testing. Look at verse 6 and 7. Be steadfast during times of testing. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now listen, too many people, times of testing, you know what? They're like a wave and the wind just drives them back and forth and they flip and they flop and they start and they stop and they quit and they join. And, you know, there needs just to be a steadfastness about you. When there's times of testing, let me tell you something. Let me just give you something. When you're going through multiple testings, multiple trials, a lot of things are hitting you at once. Let me give you one of the best pieces of advice that you'll ever get. During times of intense testing in your life, do not make any major decisions. Do not make any major decisions. There's been so many. Listen, the best course of action is to stay the course. Be careful, be careful, be careful, be careful, be careful. Times of multiple temptation, I've watched it through all my years of ministry. I've watched folks go through times of testing, and you know what? They get frustrated. They don't let it do what it was supposed to do. And next thing you know, they make some of the most horrific, life-changing decisions. You know what you do during times of testing? You get up on Sunday morning, and you come to Sunday school. And then you come to church. And you go home, and you get ready, and you come to 7 o'clock service. Then Wednesday night comes, you come Wednesday night. If you're working on a bus route, guess what you do on Saturday? You go visit the bus route. And then the next morning, you go and you get on the bus. And you stay in your ministry, and you stay in your spot. And you know what? You just stay steadfast. So, number four, be steadfast during times of testing. Look at verse number 8 now. Be single-minded during times of testing. Be single-minded during times of testing. Now, God is trying to do a work in your life during times of testing, but Satan also looks at it as an opportunity to come into your life and try to do his work during times of testing. You know what? It's crazy what will go through our minds during times when we're really being plummeted. The devil can talk you into the craziest things. And the next thing you know, everybody's out to get you. God's not fair anymore. I mean, you know, it's amazing what we... Listen, be single-minded. Be single-minded. If you believe this book before the time of testing, then believe it during the time of testing. Amen. If you loved your church before the time of testing, then just love it during the time of testing. If you stayed with your wife and was in love with her before the time of testing, you just love her and stay with her during the time of testing. Don't let the devil crawl up on your shoulder and start trying to make you double-minded. I mean, and it's, of course, connected to this matter of being steadfast during this. And let me finish by having you jump down and look at verse number 12. We'll close. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let me just give you the last one. Okay, Brother Jerry. I'm going to, next time this happens in my life, I'm going to try to understand the purposes of the testings. And in fact, maybe I'm not there yet, but I'm even going to try to greet them with joy. I'm going to immediately ask God to give me wisdom beyond what I have so that I do the right thing during testing time. I'm going to stay steadfast, and I'm going to be single-minded. But wait a minute. I still don't like the testing. Well, me neither. Listen to me. When it's all said and done, you know what you do? You just endure it. You just endure it. You know, you see some folks come to the altar sometimes and they come up here and weep. And you wonder why. Let me just share this with you. I think sometimes we say, come up here to the altar and leave your burdens with the Lord. Leave your burdens with the Lord. Can I share this with you? I wish it was that easy. I wish I could just stop in here a couple times a week and just leave my burdens right there. You know why you come to the altar? Not to leave your burdens with the Lord. To get the strength to carry your burdens. Remember old Paul? 3 times he prayed. Remove this thorn from me. Remove it, Lord, please. It's okay. You know what that gives me? That tells me I have permission to ask God to take something away I don't like. And I exercise that right very often. And sometimes, folks, you know what he does? He takes it away. Amen. That's good when that happens. Sometimes he says, my grace is sufficient. My strength's made perfect in weakness. Sometimes he just says, you know what? That's something that I'm going to need you to carry. But why, Lord? Because somebody down the road's going to need you, going to need somebody that's been through this. One of these days, somebody's going to think that their world has come to an end, and you're going to be able to slip up and grab them by the point of the elbow and say, let me talk to you a minute. And you're going to be able to tell them about a wonderful and gracious God that gives strength and help and wisdom during those dark times. Are you listening? I look all over this auditorium. I was doing it when I was sitting there knowing what I was going to preach tonight. If I had the power, there's not a person in this room that if I couldn't do it, if I had the power to do it, there's something in your life right now that's about to crush you that I wish I had the power to take away. But you know what? I don't. And sometimes God just wants us to carry some things. But let me just give you this encouragement. God says in verse 12, endure testing, for in doing so, you will be blessed in this life, blessed is the man, and you'll be rewarded in the next. Now, God's going to ask some difficult things from some members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. God's going to ask some difficult things from Pastor Jerry and my wife and you and your wife. There's going to be things that your family's going to have to face or you're personally going to have to face, and maybe it's unlike what anybody else in this room has to face. Let me tell you something. You're blessed. No, you're blessed. You're blessed if you endure it. You're blessed if you let it do its perfect work. And one of these days, you're going to stand before God, and this verse tells me that you are going to receive a special crown called the crown of life because he asked something very hard of you, and you said, Lord, if this is what we are to endure, we will do it with Christian grace. And we'll let other people see Christ in us. And we'll let it mature us and grow us and prepare us. And even if we don't understand it, it's okay. And I really mean this. There's people that God asked hard things from. But he's waiting there with the crown. I'll close with this. Kids, remember the day after the test? It's this color, I think, but this isn't one. An opening assembly the next day. Brother Reiser comes up here, Pastor Jerry back in the olden days, and said, we've got some congratulation slips to hand out. So-and-so made a 100% on their algebra test. Come on up here. And they stand up, come forward, and man alive, we give you the congratulations slip, and the kids clap for you. In a real sense, one of these days, I think God is going to say, I made you take a test that was hard. I got something for you, and it's not going to be a congratulations, it's going to be a crown. He said, I know it was hard, and I know you didn't understand. But you know what? You passed the test. You passed it. You passed the test. And I think at that day I'm gonna look back at the sorrow and the hardness, and I'm gonna count it as not. That's what God had for me. That's what God wanted me to carry. If that's what God wanted me to endure, if that's the way God wanted to display His grace through me, then you know what? He's God.
Amen.
And I just want to make sure I pass the test. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this opportunity to teach. Lord, what will be the last Wednesday night Bible study of 2006. And Lord, we look into a new year with anticipation of all the good things that You will do. We always dream of the victories. We look forward and count on the strength and the help to be able to accomplish, Lord, hopefully great things for You. We look back at 2006 and say there was victories, but there was also heartaches. And Lord, 2007 will be no different. As You develop us as Christians, I pray, Lord, that You'll help us to pass the tests. Help us to pass the tests. Whatever testings come, help us to pass the test. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's